Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast for what is episode 9, but week 8. It's very confusing because they split one of the weeks up. But basically, it's hometowns, and that's hometowns. The most important thing. Matt Munson joining us again. Thank you very much.
Hometowns, 9th episode will bring us to 2 to go, right?
The best I can tell, according to Wikipedia, and everything on Wikipedia is accurate, is that next week is obviously Fantasy Suites. Yeah. And then that it'll wrap up the following week on the 22nd. Okay. Whether any of that's accurate, I can't tell you that. But Wikipedia, as of what time? 1:21 Eastern Standard says that's what's happening.
Okay.
I don't know if any of that's true.
But we also have one more contestant hanging around at this point. So I don't know if that means one more episode to get rid of that one more contestant.
Just lead with the bad part of the episode.
I blame Colton Underwood because he sort of blew this whole model up and, you know, made it so that you can kind of, you know, set your own rules.
Do whatever you want, apparently.
Pretty much. It's just a wide open playing field now.
And I appreciated what Colton did last year in deciding, no, I now know this is the only person I want. Why string anybody along? Totally get that. But you're 100% right. Wheels are off. People are doing whatever they want. In this case,
it's a free-for-all now.
Yeah. Hannah has decided, at least for this week, it's basically everyone gets a trophy, which is, you know, just so prevalent now. Let's just carry it over to reality shows.
Yeah, why not?
You know, we're fast-forwarding a little bit, but at the end here, when she had a chance to, she's choosing between Jed and Luke, and we're thinking, okay, we're finally...
We made it.
We made it. And then she sort of breaks down, and Chris comes over to try to see, hey, what's going on? You could tell he's pissed off.
Yeah.
He's basically saying what I think we were all yelling at the TV. Is this your first day?
Yeah.
Did you not know what show this is?
No kidding.
Usually we yell at the contestants for not understanding this.
I'll point this out, too. I really think that Chris Harrison took a strong liking to our Bachelorette last year.
Oh, Becca.
Becca. I think he really liked her. There seemed to be like a strong bond between the two of them. And I think, just like you said, he's starting to kind of lose his patience, as are we. And I don't notice as much of like this fluid, you know, companionship between the two of them, where I think he kind of treated like Becca as, when you would see him pop in and out here and there, he kind of treated Becca like sort of his daughter or in a way.
Even,
I don't know.
I picked something.
Yeah, he really wanted her. He knew that like she really deserved to find the best, and he was trying to guide her along in doing that. I'm not picking up on that.
There's definitely something missing.
Yeah.
And I don't remember watching Chris look so exasperated.
Yeah.
You know, when he went in there first to console her, and then when she was picking apart the rose and saying, I'm not ready to give this final rose away, you almost, because he started and said, oh, I'm sorry. And maybe he said it and they cut it out, but it almost sounded like he was going into, I'm sorry, but
you have to.
We're going to need you to make a decision here.
Yeah, no kidding.
And maybe she put her foot down and said, no, I...
Well, it could be two things. I mean, he's been around, obviously, since the beginning. You know, maybe Chris is kind of getting to his breaking point. He's burnt out a little bit. And plus, being as though he does go back to the early days, you know, day one... You know, maybe he's not liking where this whole thing is headed. Maybe he doesn't want to see contestants, you know, who just come along for 1 year and think they can sort of, like, make it up as they go.
This is my game.
I know how it works. He's a traditionalist in that sense, so maybe it's bugging him that, you know, the whole format is just kind of going. So I can't blame him. I mean, I get where he's coming from, but I'll be, I mean... I'll put myself in that same category. I kind of found myself, there was a moment where I'm like, nah, I'm kind of over her now. Like, I'm not trying to be overly critical. It's just like, all right, enough's enough. This is kind of getting old. I've lost my faith, so to speak, in her. You know, it's like, enough. It's just, it's beyond frustrating, put it that way.
I haven't lost my faith in her, but I understand what you're saying, because there are so many times, you know, we're, you know, 9 episodes in at this point, and it seems like we have the same sort of questions towards her.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's going on? How can you possibly keep this person? How can you? And it's obviously, we keep going back to Luke, but you can only say it so many times when she's complaining about, oh, I don't know, and I wish I was further along, and, you know, this is when everybody and their brother is watching and saying, you could solve all this. Is your own fault. This is a self-inflicted wound, yeah. And the wound is called Luke. If you would have gotten rid of him a month ago, this would have been a much better season. Now, maybe it wouldn't have been as dramatic.
Right.
We wouldn't have the most dramatic farewell ever, which I'm sure we're going to get with Luke, but we would have had much better episodes as a whole, because she wouldn't be spending every other week complaining that, oh, well, we haven't advanced as much as we wanted to, or whatever the weekly issue du jour is.
Well, I do have to leave a little bit of a margin for error and, you know, cut her a break, because we don't really know what is going on behind the scenes and what we aren't seeing from him. There could be really tender moments.
Sure.
Even though she's expressing her frustration with not getting anything out of him, but still wanting to move forward with him, you know, we might not have seen those, you know, rare moments that she's clinging onto. We might not have the privilege of witnessing those things. But, you know, I don't know. That's I really had a moment like about in the last 20 minutes. It may have been at the rose ceremony, or maybe even a little bit before. It might have been at, I mean, we got to go from the beginning. I understand that. But bottom line,
hey,
I was just like,
we can make all the rules we want.
I guess so. I guess
we can
go,
Hannah. We could talk about this however
good
we
point.
Want. No rules.
Yeah, forget it. I'm just going to kind of go off the hip and say, yeah, I've lost patience with her. Not lost patience, because she's allowed to live her life however she wants to do it. You know, she did sign up for this, but I mean, it's her experience, so she can, you know, figure her way out of it to, you know, however she wants to. But as a viewer, I'm just kind of, all right, I'm over this, you know?
I appreciate her trying to get her own path in the show.
Yeah.
And right up until this rose ceremony, I think most of those decisions I was okay with. But this just seemed so, just lack of awareness, lack of so many different things.
Well, it's a little, I don't know if I'm finding the right word here, but I think it's a little spoiled. Like, you have to make a call. You don't get to just have your cake and eat it too, and just keep everybody. That's not the way this works. You know, it's these hard decisions that, you know, give you that lucky spot of having the lead role, being the bachelorette. I mean, anybody, whether or not they'd be willing to go on reality television, would kill to have 25 to 30 people to choose from who are all there for them. And so you don't, you know, the other side of that is you have to weed through them and as you see fit. But you don't just get to, like, you know, keep all your toys. You have to give some up. You have to make decisions. And that's the negative side. The plus is, you know, you're still going to be left with 3 really good guys that you get to choose from. But the rules are you cut one loose at that point. So, I don't know.
Maybe she just wanted to be able to go to 4 fantasy suites.
I don't know. Well, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I've always heard, you know, different stories about fantasy suites. Like, these two hooked up, these two didn't. You know, she just stayed up all night and talked to him. They fooled around, but it never actually happened. So, I mean, the next step is fantasy suites. So, like, you would think the person that, you know, you want, you need that alone time with, for whatever reason, whether or not you want it to be physical or have a 8-hour conversation, you know, that is what you're gearing up for next. So you think that it's fair that you get to have that time with each of them? That's not how it works. You get 3 fantasy suites. These are the rules, Ryan. So it's kind of bugging me. And I'm a progressive type. Like, I don't really, I'm not like some, you know, get off my front lawn type. I'm not at all. It's just like, you know, at some point we have to stay in the confines of, like, you know, this is like, seem like it's never ending now. And this guy's never going home. And, like, when are we just going to get released and free from this crap, you know?
I would have much less problem. I would much less of an issue if it was the opposite and she knew she wanted to be with one person, much like Colton did. And the fact that Colton didn't want to string people along and decided, no, we're ending it here because I don't want to, I'm not putting people, you know, more people through this, as opposed to Hannah, who seems to be doing the exact opposite. Yeah. And you're putting an, whether it's Jed or Luke, and even if they're, you know, Jed called Luke the scumbag, but maybe they're both scumbags, whatever, believe what you want, one of them is being put, like, she clearly doesn't think they're scumbags. She's putting one of them through one more week of agony, of not knowing.
Sure.
And clearly you could see with Jed at the end was not just, I think if it were between him and Tyler or him and Peter, I think he might have had a different reaction. But the fact that, wait a minute, this is the first time I'm A and B with this guy.
Yeah.
And you can't make a decision?
Uh-huh. Well, that's what I wonder too. Like, you get to this point and I don't know. Like, just because Chris seems frustrated, and this is maybe just a little bit of a, I've had enough time from away from the show that now maybe I'm becoming that guy who's trying to figure out, like, read between the lines as a viewer. But, like, just because Chris seems like, what the hell's going on here, doesn't mean there isn't a producer there saying to her, you know, maybe you're just not ready to make that call yet. And that's okay. It's not like Chris and every producer are strongly advising against this, necessarily. It could be a couple that are saying, no, you really got to make the right call. There could be a couple others who say, you know, you really don't have to do anything. Just to spice things up and leave the door open, thinking, she'll make the right decision in the end. But who knows? And that is the... that's sort of that outlier that people don't think about. Maybe, you know, somebody realizes how much this is ticking people off, yet keeping them watching. So, you know, to leave that door open for her to do something maybe that no one else has ever done and make for 4 fantasy suites, there could be somebody there nudging her to do so.
I don't think that's crazy, especially considering last year the biggest thing that we were all waiting for was the fence jump. And the fence jump. Realized, yes, we got a home run. This is amazing. Uh-huh. Maybe they saw the same thing in Luke and thought, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If we get this guy towards the end and we can tease footage of this just unhinged,
this
like gaslighting weirdo, and we can tease that all the way through
people
the finale.
People are going to stay hooked in no matter what.
They're going to eat that up, so I don't want to discount that.
I'll even go a step further. Now, who knows, after you edit this thing and start to air it, and then, you know, at some point you realize that, wow, one of the contestants apparently has a girlfriend home. Is that, to me, I don't know, I'm asking you, is it necessarily like a coincidence that the 2 guys that are left there, I think you were kind of pointing towards that, the 2 guys that are on the chopping block are, one, the dude that nobody can stand, and 2, the one that people in the end might actually turn out to completely despise even more than the other guy. So to have those two guys, to me, on the chopping block is may not necessarily be a coincidence.
Yeah. I think that's – I didn't think about it that way.
I'm in the mood to kind of read into things today.
But I don't think – I think that can work because we have sort of talked about the how these two are different but the same, and you just put it perfectly.
Mm.
Is one is because of what we've watched, and the other in Jed is because of what we –
We think we know about,
she went to People Magazine. An ex went to People Magazine and claimed they were still together right up until the night before he left, all this. I want to talk about that for a minute because Jed had felt the need to go to Instagram because apparently after all these stories broke, people started directing their anger towards his family, his sister, his parents, and he went to Instagram. He said...
this was after last night.
Yeah, he posted this yesterday after last night's episode. He says, please know I'm not able to answer questions right now, but as soon as I'm able to, I will. Until then, I ask that you please understand how much the actions being taken towards myself, my family, the men on the show, and above all, Hannah, are affecting all of our mental and physical health. It goes beyond what is said online. Threatening letters and phone calls have been sent to our homes. My parents and sister are being verbally attacked in public.
Mm.
I beg you to remember that what seems like a harmless action is damaging to real people, although I don't know how any of those things could be seen as a harmless action, but I digress.
Mm.
I want to thank you all who have reached out and reserved judgment until I'm able to speak openly, and I can only ask for your patience. So part of this is he's clearly trying to diffuse the stuff that this girl said. He's not allowed to comment clearly. Part two is we're here. We like the show. It's fun to banter back and forth and say he's a scumbag and all that, and I think he is. But if you're ever thinking, I'm going to call up his parents,
I'm sure you know you have some super fans out there who are harmless super fans, but some people just take it to a whole nother level.
Reassess your life choices.
And
if you feel the need to go up to this kid's daughter on the streets of Knoxville or Nashville or wherever they end up being and saying a bunch of nasty stuff to her because of something her brother did, ask yourself, would you do that in normal life?
No. But people are just so invested that they lose their mind. I mean, I don't think you're stable to begin with if some of this stuff that's said. I mean, I watched it being said to people I know. I had read comments of my own. It's like, you know, there are two ways to look at it. Part one, if you went on the show with a girlfriend, then you brought a lot of the you brought some of it on yourself.
To an extent,
a large part of it you brought it on yourself. But, you know, beyond that, there's no train. Like, he should have known. He should have known that the point of this is to go on the show as a single guy looking for love.
And this isn't 10 years ago. He has to know that it's going to get out.
Yeah.
That was
plain stupid, and I'm sure he's going to regret it, you know, to whatever extent. But, you know, the rest of it, like, no one has any training. You go on, essentially, it's such an overnight deal. Like, you become this hot topic, this sensation, this, you know, in the moment, this huge deal. And, like, there's no preparation. So, like, all of a sudden, you're just thrown in the fire. People all over the country know your name. They're reacting to your actions. But I don't think you realize sort of the gravity of the situation and where it's going to end up. Let's face it, when this show's on, it's on. And people that are into it are freaking into it. And again, I don't tolerate anything that he did as far as coming on the show with a girlfriend. But he came on the show. To attack his family and go beyond him, like,
dumb.
He knew to some extent what he was signing up for. But, like, just keep it. I think that's what it is. Let's just keep some perspective and you know, try to contain ourselves when it comes to the it's just trolling. It's a whole other topic of conversation.
And
you know, but it's uncalled for.
It totally. Now, I will say, and this is not to excuse anyone because again, to me, the family is off limits. And even the person, don't do anything threatening.
Oh, it's
like,
crazy.
What are you doing?
It's crazy.
Just
it's crazy.
But the family did not do him or them any favors.
No,
last
no, it was
night.
Rough. If you want to start with his
yes.
hometown, if you want to go one by one, we'll start with the worst.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know.
My God.
We can debate and at the end decide which was the worst, because that whole coming to Jesus thing with Luke didn't do him any favors either. I didn't get that either. I thought that whole, like, in front of all his friends and family, retelling the story about his shower moment.
Jesus,
like,
in the shower,
come on.
Yeah.
I didn't need to hear all about that again. So we can, but his hometown did more to help him, at least from, as you know, from watching. I thought it helped him with Hannah. But the tension and the awkwardness, I don't think really helped Jed much. I mean, maybe we'll find out differently, but I thought that, you know, they were very obviously resistant to her even being there at all.
That's one way to
put it.
It
was almost like they hoped the day wouldn't come, like that they weren't going to have to meet her or something. It was like, you know, it was just a lot of cold water.
Yeah,
it was ice cold water.
You know, we all hear, especially over the last, you know, year and a half or 2 years, the word collusion a lot.
Yeah.
Collusion.
Yeah.
This was the perfect example of
they
collusion.
All,
Mom, dad, and sister
oh,
got together and said, okay, listen, this bee is getting the cold shoulder
no kidding.
From us.
Yeah, it was
and
rough.
And between saying, oh, I'd be surprised if he'd even consider getting engaged, or... Yeah. I think him falling in love with you is bad for him, and I don't think he can focus on his career and be with you. What is happening?
No kidding, yeah.
And to then at the end, I understand you're not going to just say, oh, fine, whatever, but to be like, oh, I'm so glad you could come. Well, are you sure?
Cause yeah.
There sure was nothing welcoming about any part of that.
There wasn't a minute that was like, it's so great to have you here. Welcome to our home.
I mean, usually you get one holdout, and usually it's mom or dad, or you'll get the rogue brother and sister.
Sure. If it's the bachelor, and he's got to go to the homes of the last.
It's the father.
It's the father always, and that's stereotypical, and that's expected. But protecting their little boy, and like, do you really want to go and rub everybody that's watching the wrong way? Because obviously, if we were in this together, if it was there was some collusion going on, he said very early on that he was there to help his career. So did you forget to tell mom and dad before you left the house that you were doing this to help your career? Because obviously, that must have, they didn't hear you or, you know, went over their head, because why aren't they just going with the flow? If you told them before you left that, hey, sister, mom, dad, we were going to all put on a smiley face and do this in hopes that my career maybe
I'm
going to
be the good guy
up.
Here, not the bad
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, let's work together.
Let's sell some records.
They should have, maybe, that you know, he was gone for a while before he got back home. Maybe they should have found a way to, like, you know, huddle up and straighten that out
something,
a little bit, because it was awkward.
It was just
hard to watch. It was hard to watch.
It really was. Yeah. And the fact is, he started off obviously like a layup for him, but you know, they write the song, they totally what you'd expect.
Let's get that out of the way, because we know we're all leading up to that.
Absolutely. I was actually surprised he just doesn't carry a guitar with him all
exactly.
the time. But it worked well. She ate it up. They wrote this cute song together. Awesome.
Awesome.
Then you go to his house, and it's just like knives out.
Yeah, I know. It was rough. Even, like I said, even the sister was rough.
I actually think she might have been
the worst. You're right.
I get.
But you could definitely tell the mother was sort of steering the ship, though.
Well, not a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
of course.
That's how my household was.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
sure
I guess
yours
you're right.
Might have been as well. So I'm.
But
that's
she
not
was
surprising.
Claws out, though.
And we're speculating a lot. Let's speculate some more. Maybe they knew the girlfriend and they really liked the girlfriend
true.
And were like, screw this.
Yeah,
is happening? We're torpedoing this right now.
There's a lot of, again, reading between the lines that you could do, for sure.
I mean, written in the stars. Well,
yeah.
For the family, what was written in the stars was a big FU because,
no,
my Lord,
yeah,
that was terrible.
So that was definitely the worst.
I would agree.
And
there was some competition, though.
There was Yeah, it wasn't easy to come out number one. Or number four.
Yeah, or number two, which I think we would agree then is Luke.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have an issue.
But the bar for him is set so low that, like, all he needed was a few people to show that he had any sort of fan club. Because I think all along she's been like, why does no one like you? Why am I the only one here that thinks you might be a decent person? So I think she was just like begging for a little bit of validation, I guess. So to go home, even if that's kind of, again, a layup, to go home and to the guy's house and find at least his relatives are going to stick up for him. So, I mean, but she was just looking for somebody else to reinforce these, probably what she was starting to think are these crazy ideas about this guy. So to hear the dad say, you know, if you really knew the real him, you know, and you know, finally get a little bit of like people agreeing with her thoughts about this dude.
Painting the good picture.
Yeah.
Because all she's ever seen when she's not with him is, oh my God, he's the worst.
Yeah.
Everyone hates him. Everyone hates him. Everyone hates him. And, you know, she's doing a little damage control here because as she live tweets Hannah, and she's great. It's so fun. And so during this date, she started off with, have you ever told an entire family that nobody likes their son? I have. Which, you want to talk about awkward?
Yeah.
Retelling that story, I'm saying, why would you ever lead with that?
And let's face it, like, you know that the kid who was the jerk, to their parents, they could never understand why anyone thinks they're a jerk. So, like, it did nothing for me in term, but for her, because she was so desperate for people to echo her good thoughts about him, that, like, it could come from anybody. Even if, she was desperate enough that even as long as his own mother and father were in his corner, then okay, we're good to go.
That's all. Cool.
At least there's one or two other people, you know?
Right after that, she said, ugh, I was on meds. I was sick. I went to the urgent care. I do not know the things I said while in Georgia. Clearly trying to throw up the flag saying,
I was delirious.
My mistake. Mea culpa. I get it. I now see it. He's the worst.
Yeah.
But I think I'm with you. She just wanted some sort of, we use the term a lot, drink.
Somebody.
She wanted validation.
Yeah.
And she had it with his family. But this, you know, and I'm not questioning his faith because, I went to Catholic school.
I did too.
From K to 12.
Yep,
so
me too.
Raised Catholic, the whole deal. I wasn't a Bible study guy, but God bless. If that's my niece goes.
Oh, yeah.
Three
no,
times
nothing
a week.
Against that.
Not
it just
at all.
Seems, it just doesn't seem legitimate. It seems like crap coming from him.
I still don't buy anything he says. And every time he says something, it just sounds like it's a line he wrote.
Rehearsed, yeah.
And to have her show up, and the only person of all these dates to show up to a brunch. I mean, I know it was Bible reading, but like just 30 people. When you're supposed, like, when he said, oh, I want you to meet some of my friends, I'm like, okay, this is cool. We've seen this before. You have a couple drinks, whatever. And then there are 20, 30 people there, all there to talk up Luke.
Yeah, and who knows? Some of those people could have been paid. We don't know.
Well, and that's
they might have not been even known him. Where, you
did,
know?
He, did he pay them? Did he did he break his brother's arm? Like, there was.
Yeah,
there
the brother was really, you know, on the defense too, right?
There were a lot of people that were lined up to say, no. I'm
well,
telling
because,
you,
because
he
how
used
do
to
you
break
know?
Up fights.
Yeah. Because how do you know what how it's going to go? Like, I mean, how do you know that they already knew, oh, this isn't going to go well. He's going on The Bachelorette. He's going to be living with 25 or 30 other guys. He's going to be competing for a girl. Oh, boy. This is going to go nowhere good really, really fast. So how do you know that they didn't just, like, sort of, like, again, they all must have huddled together and said, we know she's going to come here completely confused. We know that he pissed everybody off. So let's all huddle up and make sure that, like, we're ready to stick up for
he's
our
the guy
boy.
That everybody likes, and he gets people turned
and
around.
And how generic is that? You know, that's all.
You know, and I don't know whether he needed to tell the shower story again to make sure it got on camera, because obviously you don't know how it's edited. So maybe you think they leave it off the first time. So maybe if you say it a second time, but I mean, and again,
word for word, rehearsed.
The same speech.
Which, and it's a weird, I mean, it's a little weird.
Listen,
you could talk to a guy anywhere, but.
Yeah, and I've talked to people over the years, especially in school, who feel like, you know, they've had that sort of calling. That,
sure, sure.
Never once was it in, did it involve a shower.
I don't know.
I guess it can happen anywhere.
Could happen anywhere, but for,
and well, it's never happened to me, so I'm not going to try to claim any sort of, you know, intelligence about how it's supposed to happen. Maybe that's the point, is there is no roadmap, but it just sounded so fake.
So
from
fake.
Him. But everything sounds. It's not just that. It's not, like I said, I'm not questioning faith. I'm questioning him. Everything sounds fake out of
his mouth. Yeah, everything.
Like,
yeah,
I bet if he orders a drink at dinner, it sounds fake. It's like, oh, what are you? Like, are you reading from a script?
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Oh, on the rocks.
It's
like,
cringe. It's always cringeworthy with him.
Yeah, he can't say anything normally. It sounds rehearsed. It's just like I said. If he orders like, oh, I'll have a Woodford on the rocks. You can't even say on the rocks normally. He just makes me want to.
He sucks.
Punch. He sucks. And we can say that, and you can say that, but don't say that to his family. Like, again,
we'll go, this is where we have fun with it,
but you don't send letters. You don't call. Yeah.
Like,
this
again,
is what you do.
Again, you could never really understand, because, like, people say stuff, and no matter how thick your skin is, it's still, you read it, you hear it. It can cut maybe deeper for others, but, like, again, you kind of know what you signed up for. You don't realize, I don't think, how much you signed up for until you actually run into it. And then especially if you lead with your chin and you are a jerk and then you bring it upon yourself. But you went and did this. You're old enough. You know what you kind of know what you're getting into. The family should be off limits. It's like the Sopranos. Whenever they went to war, it was...
You leave the family alone.
You leave the family alone.
And... You know, not to totally pile on Luke. I know that seems like the weekly event here, but it's sort of everywhere. And I think, again, deservedly so. So a couple other things that I noticed is at the beginning of the date where they talked about, well, I know we've had our ups and downs. And I'm thinking, where have there ever been any ups in this relationship?
Yeah, I never saw an up. But again, see, that's what I'm saying. Maybe there have been ups that we haven't seen. Obviously, because why else... Is he still there? What else is she clinging to? So it does, to me, leave the door open a little bit to maybe there were a few moments between the two of them that kept her coming back for more. And, I mean, it had to be something beyond this, like, because initially we saw where he was, like, stripping. And, I mean, how was that, like born again to me? You're judging her, but, like, when I think back, but you're, like... Putting, like, pretending you're a male stripper for a few minutes and stripping down. Like, how is that, you know, God's son? You know what I mean? But anyway, here we are. And
but then at the end of the date, they basically say, oh, that was a good day. The whole thing was good.
And it was like a shock to both of them.
They're celebrating the fact that they had a day.
Where they didn't fight or have some, you know, misunderstanding.
That's what I'm saying with these self-inflicted wounds, like, it's right in front of you. The fact you should not have to celebrate really probably ever, but especially in the honeymoon period of your relationship, you shouldn't have to celebrate the
having
fact.
Having a good day.
Oh, we went 12 hours and didn't want to yell at each other.
I know.
This
it's
is
crazy.
Great.
It's crazy. So maybe, you know, but again, because I see like more of a physical connection. That is in the past. I don't really see that being like what she's clinging on to, because I think she has a better physical connection with, I think it's Tyler. I think that's kind of where her physical connection is. So, like, you know, and then obviously what girl doesn't like to be serenaded, right? So you can understand why he's done so well. And then I think that the pilot is just a really happy-go-lucky,
good all-American,
decent
dude.
You know, like, so you get it. So, like, there's always, to me, the guy there who is just kind of normal and sort of like balances things out, brings her back down to earth, stabilizes her, and gives her a little touch of normalcy, which she really needs. Everyone needs throughout this process. So I get like everybody's place in the game. But I don't. But actually, I take it back because I do, because she's made references to how she's liked troubled guys in the past. So she is drawn to that. So that is sort of like her flaws and her weaknesses, her kryptonite. That's kind of what he represents.
Yeah,
and in the grand scheme of things.
And her leaving, saying in her confessional that she's falling in love with him, I think that's probably the main reason for her to claim, "I'm medicated and I was at urgent care," because how could I ever say something even more than the, "I told the parent, you know, his parents that everybody hates him."
Yeah.
The idea that she told America, "I'm falling in love with him," because they spent a day without arguing,
makes no sense.
Is bonkers.
Well, you're going in like three different directions, you know? Everybody hates him, but I'm falling in love with him. I mean, come on, your credibility just kind of goes out the window, and I think that's where I was about two-thirds of the way through the episode last night. I'm like, okay, I give up. I just give up.
Well, and because I thought it started really well, and I think it was the right thing to do, and we never know the order where it's actually shot. I don't know if your season, if you even know, if it was shown the order that it was filmed.
Be honest, I have the last like three episodes, I didn't even watch them.
You were gone, you're like, I'm not watching. Well,
no, believe it or not, last three that I was in.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it was just like, I was getting so sick of like, why aren't you on the show more? I was just like, you know what? I'm not even going to watch anymore because I don't want to see how little I am. So when people ask, I would just say, I don't even watch it. Well, but I would say it's happening in real time pretty much as you see it play back. At least I can say from my ear.
Well, then, you know? If it is, then I thought they picked well, because start off with Pete, which is the safe
bet. Yeah.
All right, we know we're not going to have any drama.
And I feel like he's gonna go, even though he got, I think, the first rose last night.
Oh yeah,
but I don't see him winning, and I feel bad because, you know, when you break it down, I think he's the most likable, and I think at this point he deserves to win, but I don't think he will.
He just,
because he doesn't, even though he's the pilot, he does have that sexy thing going for him. He can, you know, he can take her on a trip around the world if he wanted to, but he's just. You know how it is. He's made it so far, but at the end of the day, when it gets to the hometown point in the game, it's like last, you know, nice guys finish last. And I just feel like maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he wins. I don't know. But I just think he's so harmless, and he's so pure with her that I feel like that means he's not long for this world.
I thought he put his best foot forward, you know, instead of just being the sweet guy, which he was, and he had, that was like 80% of it, but he says, oh, I want to show you my car, and they get in the Mercedes car. Yeah.
Like he's reaching a little bit, you know what I mean? Playing
to
his strengths.
Yeah, trying to show he's not just the aw shucks guy. He's like, look at this. You see my car?
I got a sexy car, and we're going to head to the airport.
I was excited about it.
Yeah.
It was just a very...
What does he? He's a pilot, but does he fly like?
You know, it's funny. Someone asked me that earlier. I assumed he was a commercial pilot, but I don't know that. So. But you know, whether it's commercial or private, you're right. He can at any point just be like, "Let's go for a flight," like he did on this date. You know, they have this really cute moment in the car where she finds the condom and
So now that's to show that he's not so safe, right?
Yeah. See, like, hey, I'm ready.
But he is safe because he always has got him on hand. Yeah.
And you sort of play both sides there, and very well on social, Trojan actually tweeted out saying, Peter, remember, always store your condoms in a cool, dry place,
glove compartment. That you should know that, like, before, you know, by midway point through high school, you should know better than that.
And so they have this great moment, and then they go and they get in this little plane, which, you know, the little planes always scare the heck out of me. Especially when they have cracks in them. But apparently he's like, no, that's just
puddle jumpers.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And she said afterwards, she had said that was actually the best landing she's ever had, like the smoothest landing of any plane she's ever been on. So knows
and
what
that
he's
would
doing.
Be that would probably be life with him. Might be, I'm saying out of the four, it might be, not that Tyler, I mean, I don't really know.
We don't get a lot about Tyler.
That's
why the stuff with his family was sort of a big deal, because up until that point, they would make out and he'd make some comments here and there, but we never knew anything
about
Tyler. It's about
all you get, you know? So, but I'm just saying, I get the sense that out of the four guys, the softest landing would be with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would kind of sum up their relationship.
You know exactly what you're getting.
Yeah.
There would be very little surprise there because of his job, you would think he could live anywhere.
Sure.
So if she wanted to stay in Alabama, they could stay in Alabama.
That's fine.
If they wanted to move to LA or New York for whatever, you know, selling things on Instagram, they could do that.
Yeah,
like, he can move. He's, like we said, he's happy-go-lucky. He seems like
sure.
his family seems good, like everything.
Just an all-around decent dude.
You know, and because even dinner with the family, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They do, let's have Cuban food, and then, you know, let's
have
the
German. Yeah, that was where I was a little screwed up. Was it just like because between the two parents, they're all those different things?
Yeah, so they go Cuban food,
and then the German
prayer, which
was all
slash
fun.
Singing.
Got a little bit
landing.
Of everything.
That's,
yeah.
that's a good, we get the flying pun in there. I like that because there's, you know, unless there's other stuff we don't know about, which I'm
you
sure
never
we'll
know. Yeah,
we'll
nobody's
find
perfect.
Out in
nobody's
time.
Perfect, but
he seems of the four. Like, okay, you wanna?
But like, I don't know. I think obviously we know about Luke. Tyler, I feel like has that little of a bad boy, that little bit of a bad boy in him too. You know what I mean? He's like, he's real smooth. He's kind of slick. He's, you know what I mean? He's. So I think he's got a little bit of that. And then obviously, Jed came right out and told her early on that initially he was just there to get his career going. So, like, she's sort of drawn to the, like, question marks, problem maker, like, you know what I mean? Sort of a little bit of badass types.
Well, because even at this point, we're down to what's supposed to be the final three, and she is still saying, I don't know if he's ready for a commitment. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no kidding. What time is it?
Hold on,
let me see here.
That should
2 months deep?
And we dealt with that on your season, obviously, but Peter was forthcoming about that.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know that...
I don't know if I'm trying to get married, yeah.
You know, we can be together, but why do we need to be engaged?
Yeah.
They haven't had any sort of discussion like that, but shouldn't you?
Poor Peter, though. I mean, he was choosing his own path before it was cool to choose your own path.
The Colton way before the Colton way, saying, why do we need to get engaged? Why can't we just be together?
And I mean, in Peter's defense, I mean, he seems like the most mature and stable of all of them, and he caught a lot of flack for that, you know?
Exactly. And
so,
you know, I was always Team Peter, but even me, like, while I agree with him, much like I'm yelling at them, like, is this your first day? Like,
you know
the show.
Yeah.
And
but if only we knew then what we know now about how you could just sort of do it
rules.
The way you want to do it.
Who
no
cares?
Big deal.
There are no rules.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everything's fine. Everything's off the tracks. Like,
that's
whatever.
Crazy.
Do your own thing. And
Chris Harrison will not stand for that anymore, though. I
and
really
so,
don't think.
So Tyler, you know, whether Chris is going to throw something at him or not, we still don't totally know if, and nor does Hannah, if he's willing to propose to her.
What does he do again?
I think they said he's a contractor.
Contractor.
Which could mean a million different things,
yeah,
by
right,
the way.
Right.
Is that, I mean, it's probably just a nice way of saying, like, self-employed or unemployed. I mean, if...
you don't get a lot of that anymore, right? This unemployed?
No, usually, because that's...
So
the
maybe
thing.
They found
you come up with something and... Maybe he's a handyman. Maybe he owns his own company. We don't know.
I could have sworn I saw
like about him.
I could have sworn. I think maybe a little bit of modeling or something too.
Which that would make sense.
That would make sense. But that's what I'm saying. He sort of seems like the good-looking dude. You know, he's you know, built. He's smooth talking. You know what I mean? And they always have fun together, and they're always got their hands all over each other.
Takes her out on the boat. Shows her the house, then they make out, they go to the tiki bar, like she jumps off stage at him, like it's just...
It's all good.
That's definitely the more
fun. I just remember my friend Brian got a lot of flack for being kind of real...
Smooth.
Smooth.
Yep, oh, absolutely. Right here on this show he did, absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know if, you know, I don't know what people are saying about everybody.
Because that was
online,
my,
you know, but
my 100% impression of Brian watching this show was, I just, part of the reason I was always Team Peter is... Brian just to me just seemed like a shyster,
yeah.
But you made a great point when you first came on here. Like, no, that's just Brian's just a smooth dude.
Yeah.
And that's just smooth. He's not.
Eric
any,
called him be smooth. That's
yeah,
what Eric
like,
still calls
not,
him to this
he's
day.
Not, he wasn't putting anything on. Like that's just like Luke is clearly putting something on. Like
yeah.
Brian wasn't putting it. He was just that's
he's
how
just
he
silky
is.
Smooth.
And
but
maybe
but
that's Tyler. Maybe
yeah.
Tyler's not.
Yeah, again, and that's why I was trying to allude to the fact that. There is a lot more to Brian that you're not seeing. You're just seeing his persona because you know, that's how he comes across initially. So then that's really what you're seeing. So, yeah, in his defense, you could that could be what you're witnessing with Tyler too.
We have not seen a lot from him. I mean, we've seen a lot from him.
Yeah,
but
there's just,
you know, Pete.
He hasn't given us much.
Yeah, Pete, the safe, comfortable, everything's good, no drama. Tyler, the like super like passionate 12, mm-hmm. everything's hot and heavy, but hey, maybe he doesn't want to get married.
Yeah.
Luke, the actor, Jed, the singer, I'm here for my career.
Yeah.
I think at this
point, that's a pretty good way to sum up the whole season.
Who's who, and I don't know if she knows who's who, even though she's been through this more than we have.
Well, again, I mean, how old is she again?
I don't even know.
I'll get criticism for this, but like, you know, I go back to Rachel because she was like, she knew exactly what she wanted at.
She's 24.
32. You know, there's a big difference between 32 and 24.
Absolutely.
I think Becca was like closer to 30.
Right.
And again, it makes sense that she was closer to 30. To me, it makes sense that she's like not even in, you know, just approaching her mid-20s. Colton, when I look back, yeah, he was in his mid-20s too. Like, it just, I'm not making any criticism. It just, that's not hard to pick up on. The fact that, you know, they are where they are. And, like, you know, a lot of the guys maybe haven't quite found out exactly. You know, she might not know who they are, but maybe they really don't know. And that's okay. But maybe they don't know exactly, like, who they are yet in your mid-20s. You're still trying to figure that out. So that's all well and good. But, you know, that could be a little bit of where we're at, too, is like, how did everybody get here? Well, no one has a great explanation for that, but nonetheless, we're here, and we got to move forward, and that's what we're trying to do with two episodes left.
And we're going to Greece with now the four.
That's a nice trip.
It's.
I mean, I've never been, but I know that if I had to pick a place tomorrow, that might be it.
Like, if Peter was going to fly us somewhere and be like, you know, you're bringing us to Greece.
Let's do Greece.
The footage when they first opened up that shot, like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, just, I would say, I mean, Spain, I think, is where the last three guys finished out on my season. I think last year, was it Thailand or something? I know that, like, when I just think of Robbie because I was on Paradise with Robbie. I know when they were down to the last two, I remember how, seeing a clip from how hot it was. They were in, I think, Thailand, Spain. I feel like maybe they went back to Thailand again, but I'm not sure.
The heat always presents a very interesting sort of way of shooting because everyone's sweaty. And so I think Greece is probably this happy medium. Mediterranean weather is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And no one's going to be super hot and bothered. And you're going to have the backdrop of like $1 billion.
Yeah, and maybe we can finally get this thing figured out.
Well, I think the only saving grace for Luke staying this long is, so he was in Georgia. They're going to fly him to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And God willing, this happens quickly. She sends him home. So he basically has to fly to Greece. And I don't know if he's going to be one of the first fantasy suites or not. But they're going to fly him to Greece just to have him turn around and fly back.
Yeah.
We'll take a little solace in that. And be sure. Like, enjoy your super long flight.
It can be rough. It can be rough. Yeah, because after you realize, you know, oh, it's time to go home, and then you take a look at the trip ahead of you, it kind of sucks, especially if you get dumped and, you know, you did things the right way. But for the guy who, like, really just wore us out for the past couple months watching the show, yeah, you could take the long way back home.
And after they ambushed Becca, they sat her. This was a whole viral thing. I don't remember. They sat her in the middle seat in coach, and they had a little GoPro on her, and people were saying, myself included, like, you couldn't get this girl.
Yeah, no kidding.
Either if not in first class, an aisle seat.
Yeah.
And so
soon to be bachelorette. Yeah, they didn't know that at the time.
Exactly. But I hope Luke, and it's a little easier for him because he's tiny, but you know, all 5'8" of them. I hope they stick him all the way in the back, in a middle seat.
Right by the bathroom.
Right by the bathroom, and he has to try to defend himself again, civilly, defend himself against, you know, two huge Bachelorette fans on either side of him.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of them cursing in Greek.
I can see it now.
Like, I just, oh my God.
I think
God,
Greek gets, doesn't get the episodes till a little bit further down the road.
Oh, with so the internet, whatever. Everybody gets them. It's fine.
But I got two quick ones for you. You tell me. Number one, have you ever seen them go back to the mansion, right? Weren't they in, was that the mansion? That looked like the mansion where they had, that absolutely. Was the mansion. So they all went back to LA and back to the mansion for that hometown rose ceremony. Because they picked different places, like Rachel, I think her sister was having a baby, so they all went to Dallas. I think when they, I remember like Nick, it was in New York at that point when they had four and they were trying to go to three.
I didn't even pay attention to that.
I never saw him go back to the mansion. I thought that was interesting. So, but I don't know. You'd go back further than
I do. Yeah, but I don't even, because you're right. We never see the mansion again, and that is a great point.
Because you said he was in Georgia. When you say he was in Georgia.
So does that mean maybe Peters was last and they were in L.A. and they figure, well, let's just bring everybody out to L.A.?
Maybe. Because
they flew right over the mansion.
Yeah, that could be
plane.
Maybe what you described.
That's interesting. And I don't know the answer. That's, that is a eagle eye.
I'd be curious. Look into that for me.
There.
I mean, I'll be back next week. And well, I don't know about next week, but we'll talk about that. But find out because I'm curious. Maybe they did that in the early years.
Well,
and it's
might
something
be better. Maybe it's easier trip to Greece. I don't know.
Well, I've never been
to Greece. Beats the hell out of me.
That could be. Yeah, maybe. Anyway, the other thing, now it's of course going to
something equally
slip
important,
my mind.
Sure.
No. Well, it was kind of important, but keep going and I'll remember it.
Well, we're in Greece.
Yeah.
And we have four, but again, judging by what they're showing us, and it's as we found in every year, we can't always trust what they're showing
us. I remember.
What is that?
We talked in here last week about missing, when she talks, when Hannah talks about the windmill, we talk about whether or not we missed that. When were they near a windmill? But then in the coming attractions, she talks about how, I think they, in an interview, she alludes to how it might have been during Fantasy Suites that this windmill came into play. So I'm thinking that Luke is not the first.
Interesting.
I could be completely off base. But I heard something last week that makes me think maybe Luke is not the first Fantasy Suite. Maybe some Fantasy Suites already happened. And
one is in a windmill.
Well, or something like that.
Windmill shaped like hotel or something.
Because it sounds like it doesn't happen until until Fantasy Suites, and it would had to have happened already by the time Luke gets there to have his blowout.
I just assumed that it happened either when they
that's
were like
what
in
I
Amsterdam
figured too,
or
and
something.
Maybe maybe that's still exactly the way it went down, but
and they sort of snuck away, and
that would make more sense. But I heard in an interview last week somebody asking her about, now does that happen during hometowns or I'm sorry, during Fantasy Suites? And she's like, well, you'll have to wait and see. But that made me think maybe it doesn't, maybe it has not already happened yet.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I just hope that this isn't another faux editing where this isn't what happened at all.
Because they're messing with us now.
And he's not the one that she ships away in the car and sends away before he ever gets a chance to go to the Fantasy Suite, where apparently he won't do anything anyways, because, which again, I'm fine with waiting till marriage.
It's already been ruined for
God
him.
God bless anyone that thinks they can tell somebody else how they're supposed to be.
No kidding.
Like, I'm waiting till marriage with my future wife. Awesome. Good for you. And you know why that's good for you? Because it's you.
And I'll be bold enough to say, I don't buy that anyway. I just think he's freaking jealous, and he doesn't want anybody else to have her except him. I don't think it's got anything to do with we're going to wait until we get...
It could
it's
be.
It's just jealousy,
If it were any of the other three guys, I think I would say, oh yeah, no, I buy it. But because it's from him, that wouldn't
it's
surprise
most likely
me
crap.
If it's him just wanting to a better chance of getting, again, the W, because he doesn't want to, can't ever take an
you're
L.
You're right, you're right. That's what it's all about with him. I'm still convinced.
Win and loss with him, that's all that matters. But whatever the reason is, it always goes back to, and I agree with her, and again, I hope what we see is what
we're
going to
get.
Is that, you know, my future husband would never say that to me, because you make decisions for you, I make decisions for me.
Right. We're together, but we're still separate.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's okay for you if you want to wait till marriage, because that's you and your decision. And it's okay for her if she doesn't want to wait till marriage, because it's
her life, decision. It's her decision, yeah.
And God, please, let this be it. We've been
begging for like a month now.
Like,
right?
Finally, we're going to get
the
last episode.
He was already on borrowed time at that point.
Finally, we're going to get the last episode. Mm. And now we're literally down to the last episodes, and he's still here. Ugh. He's like a cockroach.
Yeah.
But we will.
And again, I've tried to weed through and look for something, but I don't get it. And again, I actually found myself looking, because obviously, you know, we all look a little alike, in, you know, within our own family. So, like, I'm trying to see the resemblance. Where does the father have that same punch me face too? You know what I mean? I'm like looking, where does that face come from? And I really found myself trying to pick up on that. But
he does have a very punchable face. But you do not.
Oh, well, thank you.
Matt_Munson_ on Instagram. You can find us at Bachelor Podcast on all socials. And thank you so much for listening. We're going to go to Greece. Well, we're not, but the show is. And we will talk to you next week.
I wish we were.